In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocence, bitter sufferings, and death, of thy Lord and Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
But this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a call of your being servant of the Lord, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Say to the daughter of Zion,
behold, your salvation comes.
The Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard.
And you shall have gladness of heart.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Restore us, O God.
Let your face shine, that we may see.
Turn again, O God of hosts.
Look down from heaven and see.
But let your hand be on the man of your right hand.
Such a man will be your hand strong for yourself.
Say to the daughter of Zion,
behold, your salvation comes.
The Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard.
And you shall have gladness of heart.
Ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Our reading from the Catechism today is question 43. For what purpose did God reveal his name to us? God gave us his name so that we might know who created and redeemed us. Psalm 9. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgments. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. Isaiah 44. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord, who made all things, and who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. Exodus 20. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Call upon him personally as children do a father. Genesis 4. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Luke 11. Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. And they proclaimed his name to all peoples. Isaiah 12. And you shall say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. And then Matthew 28. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Advent is from the fourth chapter of Malachi, beginning with verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proudest, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like straw-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded you in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn their hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual in your bulletin. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes, he does not keep silence.
Gather to me my faithful ones.
Whom we have covenanted with thee as sacrifice.
Our epistle reading is written in the 15th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, though, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us. To the glory of God, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia,
alleluia. The powers of the heavenly shall be shaken, and then we will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 21st chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 25. Said, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts falling from them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. But surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Athanasian Creed printed in your bulletin. Remain standing if you are able, otherwise you may sit. Whoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost.
But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty both eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Ghost uncreated.
The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Ghost incomprehensible.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
As there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord.
And yet not three lords, but one Lord.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say, there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is indeed made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after other, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as before said, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must think thus of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he we also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God is substance of the Father, begotten before the world, and man is substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as such is his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as such is his manhood.
Who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven. He stood on the right hand of the Father, our Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give an account for their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. Please be seated as we continue with our sermon hymn. Thank you. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the unofficial Christmas season started over 2 months before the first day of Christmas this year. Then back on November 28th, as Black Friday inaugurated the Christmas rush, Christmas or holiday songs have already been playing on the radio for well over 6 weeks now. And before the turkey was even cleared out of most people's refrigerator, Merry Christmas became the customary greeting. You know, for most people, the season of Advent has been completely forgotten. Now, I'm not just bothered that Christmas is being celebrated at the wrong time. No, you should rejoice at Jesus' birth all year round. That God became a little baby for you in order to save you. This is a wonder at which you should never tire of marveling at. Dear saints in Christ, that's not even what's happening. You don't have a premature Christmas celebration, but you have a month-long distortion of the Christmas season. The Christmas spirit has been replaced with the love of stuff. And I'm not just complaining like Charlie Brown that everyone's gone commercial. There's something much more sinister, something much more evil and disturbing that's going on here. This fake Christmas season is exactly what Jesus warns you against in the gospel reading. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. You see, Advent is about the coming of Christ. Today you heed Jesus' words to be prepared for a second coming and judgment. Nevertheless, the name of Christ, nearly everyone is doing the exact opposite. Instead of watching for the coming of Christ, you're overwhelmed with the cares and pleasures of this life. Jesus warns you against being weighed down with dispensation, that is busyness, staggering like someone who is drunk or hungover. And that is how so many of you are as you rush into everything to get everything done. And literal drunkenness has become customary for the new Christmas season, with drinking parties that only intensify feelings of anxiety and depression. You are so weighed down by the cares of this life, the coming of the Lord certainly could fall upon you like a trap. In fact, the Lord wouldn't need such stealth. Indeed, the new Christmas season is really a time of cultivating thorn bushes to choke the Word of God out from your hearts. And you know, it's not even that enjoyable. Recent polls find that 88% of Americans find the holidays stressful. This makes sense with all the rushing around and buying gifts that you can't afford, traveling distances that you don't want to travel to visit family and friends, and then rushing back before you can relax. Something like a quarter of the consumers still haven't paid off their bills from last Christmas. And people even find visiting the Lord's, their loved ones, stressful. And half of those polled say that religion is a topic to avoid over the holidays with family and friends. Just imagine that. Don't talk about religion when celebrating these holy days. And this is really the center of the problem with this new season of anxiety dressed up with lace and flashing green and red lights. It's all a distraction from getting prepared for the coming of Christ Jesus. And how do you get prepared for Christ's coming? How do you keep watch? By paying attention to the Holy Scriptures and the preaching of God's Word. Nevertheless, for many already weighed down by overindulgence and anxiety, the command to pay attention to the Scriptures is still another stress heaped upon the chest. Most pastors feel guilty for not spending as much time as they should reading the Bible, let alone many Bible-believing Christians. You should read your Bible every day. Do you? Does it make you feel guilty that you don't? Is pointing this out helping to relieve your anxiety during the busiest time of the year? I didn't think so. But the reading the scriptures and hearing the preaching of God's word should not cause you stress. Listen to the words from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You see, you find hope through the encouragement of scripture. What is this hope? Well, Jesus tells you in the gospel reading, now when all these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That's right. When all the world is falling apart, when those in power become powerless and the rich lose everything that they have, when nature itself becomes unsettled and the end is near, Jesus tells you that summer has arrived. You're going to be released from the sorrows of this world like a calf leaping and dancing out of its stall. Though the earth end up in flames, you will be cool and collected. This is Christ's promise. And why will we be so cool, collected, and victorious? Because your redemption is coming near. What is your redemption? Well, to redeem means to purchase, or to buy back. All of you were conceived and born slaves of sin, bound to death and under the dominion of the devil. Nevertheless, the scriptures teaches you that you were redeemed from the bondage, but that was not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. It was God himself who set this price. Your sin is an offense against him. God must be reconciled to you because of your transgressions against him. Your sin is a total corruption of your nature, which God made to be perfect. It is a behavioral problem. Not only does sin separate you from God and warrant your death, but it is also harmful to others. And the reason you have anxiety and are overburdened during this stressful time of year is because of your sin. Sin causes you not to trust in God. This means that you take on an unnecessary burden by trusting in yourself. Sin causes you to be selfish. That makes serving others much more difficult. Sin makes it difficult to spend time with others and for them to spend time with you. Navigating around unsafe and awkward conversations. You see, sin is not freedom. Sin is slavery, and you are not capable of doing the good that you want to do. Even if your spirit is willing, your flesh is weak, and the wages of sin are death and hell. Oh yes, you are a sinner, and you need to be redeemed from your sins, or you will go to hell for all eternity. And Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. Nevertheless, Scripture encourages you to have hope, because Christ Jesus has redeemed you from your sin with his precious blood. The 9th chapter of Hebrews says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. You see, Scripture is encouraging, because it reveals to you your Savior, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed you from sin, who has redeemed you from death, and has redeemed you from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. To be redeemed means that God has forgiven you. In his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, St. Paul says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." You know, forgiveness is the sweetest word in the ear of a sinner. Psalm 32 states, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." And this is why the name of Jesus is the sweetest sound to the ear of a Christian. Because it is Jesus who has forgiven you your sins. St. Paul's first letter to Timothy says, "The same is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Yes, Scripture calls sin, sin. And Scripture calls you a sinner. Even to say that if you deny that you are a sinner, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Nevertheless, Scripture promises that if you confess your sins, God will graciously forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness through Jesus' blood. And Scripture is trustworthy. St. Paul tells you that it is breathed out by God. St. Peter tells you that men of God wrote the Scriptures as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. St. Paul joins the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures so closely together that he does not distinguish between the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Holy Scriptures. On the other hand, he says, through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then just 9 verses later, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound." God the Holy Spirit works through the Scriptures to create saving faith and to encourage you through the faith your entire life. The Scriptures are the words of Christ. It is by the words of Christ that the Holy Spirit creates saving faith in your hearts. So not only should you read the Holy Scriptures and learn them for yourself, for your own encouragement, but you should also speak these words of Jesus as you gather with your family and friends this Advent and Christmas season. Don't be part of that 50% who avoids talking about religion. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." So talk about Jesus with your loved ones. Pray with them. Have devotions with them as you gather to celebrate Jesus' birth. Share with them the words that will prepare you to lift up your head and welcome your redemption as he comes to you in the clouds, and invite them to come and hear those sweet words of Jesus. Your saints in Christ, by truly observing Advent, that is, by hearing and believing the Holy Scriptures, you not only will enjoy the true meaning of Christmas when it comes, but you will be prepared to enjoy the return of that Christ who came to you so lowly in a manger. May the words of your dear Savior be in your ears, your mouths, and your heart until he comes again. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, on to everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, give ear to our cries for mercy. Create in us contrite hearts, and work in us true repentance and faith. Keep us, your baptized children, clothed in your perfect holiness and righteousness of your Son, that we may remain his beautiful and unblemished bride. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, who sent your prophets and apostles, pastors and teachers in all times to call sinners to repentance and comfort them with the healing of the Son of Righteousness, give strength to the congregation and ministers of your church, especially Matthew, our synodical president, Brady, our district president, Greg, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Lord, preserve your gift of marriage against the ravages of sin, the schemes of the devil, and the raging of the world. Bless the couples and families of our congregation. Strengthen them in love and care for one another, and establish them on the foundation of your holy word. Lord, in your mercy, O God, in the midst of strife and conflict and wars and rumors of wars, remind us that you have given all authority in heaven and on earth to your Son. Call to faithfulness the leaders of the earth, and bless those you govern who govern. Thwart those who would hinder your reign among all peoples, that peace may be established in every place. Lord, in your mercy, God of compassion, behold those in need, the sick, the imprisoned, the lonely, the grieving, and all whom we remember at this altar, including Emma, Bob, Jackie, Barb, Marianne, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Moe, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and Talitha Brown. Give them patience to endure and hope for the future, looking always for healing in the hands of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hosts, God of all comfort, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, delivered from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Brianna, Gail, Andrew, and Marianne. Continue by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant in which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, you have taught us to straighten up and raise our heads when we see the coming of the Son of Man. Even now your Son comes to us under the bread and the wine of the sacrament. Grant that all who commune today may receive the very body and the true blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all their sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son, you have revealed to us that heaven and earth will pass away, that our bodies will rise again, and that we will all appear before his judgment seat. We implore you, keep us in your word by your Holy Spirit. Establish us in the true faith. Defend us from all sin and preserve us in every temptation. Do not let our hearts be weighed down with dispensation, drunkenness, or the cares of this life. But lead us to trust fully in your grace and so watch, pray, and await with joy the glorious coming of your Son, in whom we obtain eternal salvation, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. View this day in the presence of God and in this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God has given you in your baptism.
Yes, I do.
You renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways.
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts he has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your son and daughter, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them with both their heart to believe and with their mouth confess his saving nature. Grant that by your word and spirit, they may continue steadfast in the one true faith and the fellowship of this congregation, as we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Welcome. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Father, everlasting God, through through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Take great, another place, shed for the mission, Lord your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. True blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Body of Christ. Now the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit keep the baptism of grace. Now the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit keep the baptism of grace.
Thank you.
shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us for this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.